Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 23rd of April, recording at 9:07 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. Stock markets mostly ranged following the downward dynamic on Friday of last week due to the SEC charge against Goldman Sachs. And that spilled over into Asia and also to Europe. And then we had China's tightening. Now, most stock markets remain steady this week, China excepted, and Wall Street closed tonight at new recovery highs, new trend highs for this move. In long-dated government bonds, the real story on the week has been the sharp rise in the yields of the Mediterranean sector. And today we also saw a little bit of firming in the UK gilt yields. Otherwise, bond prices have been fairly steady. Eurobund yields remain low, safe haven there. And to a certain extent, the US market has attracted a little bit of safe haven demand, but the pattern is one of ranging for the most part. Okay, the US dollar mixed, weaker against the commodity currencies for the most part, and stronger though against the euro. Up until today, the euro had fallen against the dollar, again due to the Greek and other Mediterranean country's debt concerns. So we'd seen the euro fall for six consecutive days, but it rebounded in here today a bit after a new reaction low, currently at 133.70. Now, the main story of the in the currency markets, I think, is really the yen, which looks quite soft. More on that in a moment. Precious metals had seen some downside moves starting last Friday, actually, but they closed on firm footing here today. Gold, 11.55 as I speak. Crude oil, again, had a quiet week, but closes firm at 85. And I think those are the main stories overall. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, in terms of stock markets, there are several themes. Let's start with the most important one. As far as the vast majority of stock markets are concerned, this remains very much a cyclical bull market. And that means that we see a majority of consistent upward trends, and these are all therefore trading to the left side of their trend mean, represented by the rising 200-day moving averages. Now, there are exceptions. Inevitably, there are some exceptions. One exception is China, which weakened this week and is actually a little bit below its MA. That's the Chinese A shares. The Chinese B shares are considerably firmer. The HSECI index is firmer, albeit range-bound, but the A shares, which the Chinese locals buy, is way underperforming. And the A share banks sector is weaker still. Now, that's a concern overall because it's an important market, obviously, and it has a leash effect within the Asian region. Now, we haven't seen that cast too big a shadow regionally, as China has been mostly range-bound, but it had fallen down sharply back down to the bottom side of its trading range of the last couple of months. And unless it rebounds in here, that I think will exert a drag on the region generally, and perhaps beyond. the leaders in Asia really remain the resources markets, and those are the markets, of course, that export a lot of raw materials to China. They include Indonesia and Malaysia, the Philippines, and Thailand. Thailand, of course, as you know, has had the ongoing political problems, but it's held up reasonably well. And investors seem to be immune to all but the worst developments in that country. Okay. The most important leash effect by far is Wall Street's, and that remains very positive. Wall Street's an outperformer. The Dow is up 13, I beg your pardon. The NASDAQ is, let me get it right, the NASDAQ Composite Index is up 11.5% so far this year. The S&P 500 index is up over 9% so far this year. Those are good gains. Within the Americas, they're only exceeded well, I didn't see them all, but among the bigger ones, Mexico has a 13% gain so far this year. Now, those gains in US dollars are better than the European stock markets for the most part. The only exception to that is Sweden, which has been very firm overall. And Wall Street's performance is better than the Asian performances that we've seen recently. Now, that I think is really, while it lasts, is extremely good news for most of the other global stock markets, which had performed more strongly last year and more strongly in coming off their lows. And this Wall Street influence remains positive. Now, what about risks? Well, we have overextended trends relative to the 200-day moving averages for most stock markets. They aren't as overextended as they were a few months ago, before we got the long-ranging process. It actually started last year, that culminated in lows that were reached for the most part in early February. But we are overextended once again, and the downward dynamics that we saw a week ago, and to a lesser extent on Monday in some markets, I think are a warning shot across the bows. We do have a susceptibility to a further reaction and consolidation. But to put that in perspective, the worst case scenario, as we see it at Fuller Money, the worst case scenario would be another mean reversion correction to the 200-day moving average. And the higher markets go in the short term, the more likely that will be. But the biggest and most important factor of all, by far and wide, is that we have bullish action throughout most stock markets, and we don't have any evidence of type 1 or type 2 or type 3 top formations for the Wall Street indices, which, again, I had to repeat myself, but it's an important point, remain the most influential of all. Now, background factors to support that. We've known about the low interest rates for a very long time, and while interest rates are edging upwards in some regions of the globe, mostly among Asian markets, particularly China, and also to some of the res among some of the resources producers, particularly Australia, we're still really in the low foothills in terms of a climb up the mountain of interest rates that would really cause real problems for global stock markets. In other words, we're nowhere near there yet. These monetary conditions are still quite accommodative. Long-term interest rates are not high enough, with the exception of that Mediterranean sector, and I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. So that is not a problem globally. It's a regional problem. Now, commodity prices, they have been firm, quite firm generally. That could become a problem, and it could become a problem fairly quickly if we get another spurt to the upside. Commodity prices remain in form. It's a fuller money theme, and the higher they go, the more of a headwind that is likely to create, or the more likely it is that that will turn into a headwind. I would not describe it as a headwind for stock markets today. Today, I would say we have a high degree of correlation. Equities are still in form. Commodities are still in form. People view this as further evidence of global economic recovery, which is what they actually want, because, of course, the big fear was that we were going to get either a very, very weak economic recovery or we were going to get some sort of double dip recovery, and that does not appear to be the case as far as the majors are concerned. Now, what about that Mediterranean sector in Europe? That is a problem, and those stock markets are underperforming, most notably Greece and Portugal, and Spain is soft as well. The rising bond yields that we see there indicate that people are still very worried about the Greek situation, and that we are also seeing some contagion. Now, if that extends beyond the Mediterranean countries, and the important extension would be into the UK, that could cause some problems down the road. And that needs to be watched. Okay. Looking elsewhere, in terms of currency markets, there are several interesting situations going on. One is well known, one to you, and that is the ongoing strength of the Asian currencies generally, and also the resources producer currencies. So Asia with a stronger growth, resources countries also getting strong growth due to the demand from Asia. It's a classic Fuller Money theme, and it rolls on. I would expect those currencies to remain strong so long as their respective central banks are not trying to weaken the currencies. Now, are any central banks trying to weaken the currencies? Well, I think first that the ECB would regard the Southern European debt crisis as having an important silver lining, and that is it has weakened the euro considerably, and that is very, very good for the region's exporters. So that's the positive. The ECB had, and European officials generally, had done plenty of jawboning when the euro was stronger. So they're absolutely delighted with this move. The country that has done the most jawboning recently is Japan. And Japan definitely wants a lower yen. Looking at a number of charts, the yen does look like a short trade. I have short positions currently against the U.S. dollar and also against the Australian dollar, or put it the other way around, Australian dollar long against the yen and the U.S. dollar long against the yen. And I'm very tempted to open a Canadian dollar long against the Japanese yen. Now, once again, Japan needs this weaker yen, wants the weaker yen, and it also, we now see evidence in the charts that the yen is weakening. Happiness in Forex, as we've long said at Fuller Money, is having the central bank and the trend on your side. So the yen is by far the most interesting currency as far as I'm concerned, in that it looks like a short candidate against a good many other currencies around the globe. Now, what about the euro? I think it'll remain a vulnerable currency as long as this problem regarding sovereign debt in the Mediterranean countries persists. Sterling is also vulnerable because of concern over its borrowing, and then the uncertainty that's been created around the general election. But sterling and the euro are quite overextended on the downside against a good many currencies, particularly sterling. So, to me, as I see it, most of the weakness is already in the price, whereas Japan is not the least bit overextended, the yen rather, is not the least bit overextended against other currencies, or against most other currencies. Now, what about this precious metal market? Well, it had a good bounce here today, helped by the euro's rebound. I described gold yesterday as behaving like a middle tier currency. In other words, it's been a little weaker than the dollar, but actually it's pretty well unchanged. It's sort of tracking the dollar, being range bound, if we take it at today's levels, as we should. The dollar, so that dollar gold link has been constant in here for several months now, following the peak that we saw back in December and January. Now, the gold price is weaker against hard currencies on a relative basis, such as the resources producers and some of the freely traded Asian currencies. Gold, however, is strong against the weak currencies, such as the euro, sterling, and the Japanese yen. And I think that there's a good chance that gold can maintain its strength a bit more than the dollar can maintain its strength. I think it does need to hold above those recent lows that we had seen, and we have seen. It's bounced back up. It's back up above this $1,150 level. So that's positive. And the underlying trading, which stemmed that decline down to, I think it got down to as low as 1124 this week, but underlying support, say, had cushioned that downward move and has now reversed it as of today's close. And it's still not too late in the seasonal cycle for gold to sustain another move to the upside, which palladium and platinum have been suggesting in the last few weeks. And silver is remaining quite steady in here as well. So I think there's still a chance that we can see this additional move to the upside. I think that's still the odds-on bet, that we will see precious metals moving up in dollar terms over the near term. And I feel underrepresented there, not having any futures positions in those precious metals at the moment, although I've got plenty of gold share exposure in my long-term portfolio. Now, other commodity markets, the grain and bean complex has affirmed somewhat. These look like base formations overall. Prices are certainly not high. But if those are base formations, as I suspect they are pointing to an upside breakout of some significance, probably commencing sometime over the next few months. It's very difficult to forecast when a base formation's actually going to be completed, but usually the bigger the base, the more significant the move when it actually occurs, and these bases are becoming substantial. So I think out there somewhere later on towards the second half of this year, quite possibly we might well have problems with commodity price inflation But as I said earlier on, they're not too serious right now. But food price inflation is the most emotive one. Oil price inflation is the most important in terms of overall GDP growth because it's a tax on consumption. And I think that's pretty much it. As we near the end of the latter part of April. And again, Fuller Money themes are doing well. Have a great weekend.